Hello, and happy new year from the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
Thank you so much for joining us for this very special Greatest Hits episode. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. It's really exciting since now we're finally in 2017.
Oh my gosh.
We can sort of do a retrospective, a year in
last
review.
Year.
Yeah, we like to do this every year to sort of reflect back on all the new music that we've listened to throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind, not all of this is music that was written in 2016, but it's all music that we first played and first shared
yes.
on the show in this year. So it's sort of, I mean, greatest hits, I guess it speaks for itself, but most of these, if not all of them, were track of the week in
yes.
the specific episode that we brought them from.
And so there's a few different examples. It could be from, let's say it's a game that we've known for a while, but for whatever reason, this particular track wasn't shared until this year on the podcast. So that might be the case. It might be a brand new soundtrack of 2016. There's a couple examples of that. For whatever reason, this is all music that was played, shared last year. This is what we consider the best of what we've played last year.
Well, and also what's fun about these is music that we've discovered for show and tell over this past
yeah.
year. Something that's a fun tradition that we're going to continue with today is choosing track of the year.
Track of the year.
Because our track of the week this week, since it is a year in review, we're sort of deciding that this is the best thing that we've played all
year. Which
is
kind of daunting, but for this year, it was actually quite an easy agreement.
I think on the last episode of the podcast, we have to pick a track of the cast.
And I think we have an idea of what that would be, too. So, all right. What you guys are hearing playing in is from Granblue Fantasy.
Just beautiful.
Very beautiful. And Will actually remarked, is this the best play-in track? In some ways, maybe, I don't know, 2016 was a hard year. So maybe this track, Tragic, which is what this track is called, is fitting for that year. So this was composed by Nobuo Uematsu from Granblue Fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm ready to listen to some celebratory music.
Let's
for
do it,
2017.
Man. Let's do it. Okay, so this was part of the Fusion episode playlist. We had an episode on Jazz Fusion, and a lot of that music was submitted to us by our good buddy Carlos. And this was one of those tracks that he suggested us to play for that episode, and we did. And it is so much fun. I have a memory of when we played this track, Will saying, dude, we got to include this in our Greatest Hits episode. This is just the ultimate jam. And it is. It is BGM 2 from the Game Boy game Side Pocket GB, composed by Yosuke Takahama. Let's take a listen. What a great way to start off today. This is BGM2 from Side Pocket GB, composed by Yosuke Takahama from our Jazz Fusion episode. And this particular track was suggested by Carlos. This is such a jam. It's so great to hear the Game Boy being pushed to its limits in such an expressive and lush way. And it kind of feels like this very exciting Latin jazz band that's kind of, all these lines are being traded, you know, back and forth between different instruments. And this
taking
is just
advantage
lively.
Of the panning that was possible on the GB
for sure.
Hardware. Yeah, what's sort of nice about sort of starting with this track is it's representative of one of our favorite things of this show, which is that we're so fortunate to have fans submitting and recommending some of their favorite music. We've been introduced throughout, you know, the 5 years of doing this podcast, we've been introduced to so much excellent music, really from you guys, and so many of you are so tireless and dedicated to exploring and listening to new soundtracks. It's really inspiring and so much fun, very rewarding for us to get to talk about that music that is suggested by you guys. Another thing that we have to do, hopefully sometime soon, we can do another installment of Listener Show and Tell.
Yeah, we'll do that in the spring, I think.
Yeah, that's always fun when we get to have a playlist entirely of user-submitted tracks.
Well, that's a funky, groovy track to start off the day, and let's keep the funk and groove going, shall we? This is a track from Jake Kaufman's 2016 score, Supreme League of Patriots. And we actually had an episode dedicated to it in the spring, this past spring, I believe, or summer. And it's wonderful. I mean, Jake Kaufman was on fire this year. So much of his released work is just incredible. And this is no
you
exception.
You can say that every year.
Yeah, that's true. So Supreme League of Patriots was a disco funk 70s, 80s kind of a throwback score, and it was absolutely a blast. Let's take a listen to Stan's theme, composed by Jake Kaufman. I'm in love. This is Stan's theme. I'm in love with Stan. I want to say that now on the podcast. Supreme League of Patriots by Jake Kaufman and by the Mint Potion Studio Band, featuring some of the other players there. Jake is on bass, keys, guitar, I believe. This is just exquisite. I mean, this is why we love Jake, is because his music not only is authentic and he's versatile and he can do all these different genres, but there's always this sense of fun and, I guess, humor in his music, where he's paying, you know, he's sending up something, but he's doing it in such an authentic way that you could listen to this on its own and enjoy it as music, but you can also enjoy it maybe additionally when you are listening for, like, how he's sending these things up. And it's like, it's kind of like 70s porn music in a way.
I think we made that remark on the show. Something that I just love about Jake Kaufman is he's almost like this musical savant in a way, because I think his responses are just so immediate, and you can tell he really gets so excited and passionate about all kinds of different genres and styles.
That's
and,
definitely true.
When he hits the nail on the head, it's unlike anything else, and that energy and that excitement really shines through in all of his music, and it's such a breath of fresh air relative to pretty much every other video game composer that is working now or ever. Jake Kaufman is a truly singular voice.
There's a track I'm gonna just go ahead and call dibs on for the next show and tell. There's a track I was showing to Will and Marty on Christmas Day from a different score that he released in 2016 that is just so, so good. So I'm excited to share that. But all right, let's move on to a track from our Etrian episode. We had an episode this year on all of the Etrian music, starting from the first Etrian Odyssey to the crossovers on the 3DS. All music by Yuzo Koshiro, and all really good. We're going to play a track from Etrian Mystery Dungeon, which was first shared in this past year on the podcast. It's a beautiful piece of music that does not sound what I think of when I think of the Etrian Odyssey series. Very beautiful stuff here with real players. Let's take a listen to Ever Scarlet Forest by Yuzo Koshiro.
Thank you.
beautiful. You guys are listening to Ever Scarlet Forest, surprisingly beautiful, from Etrian Mystery Dungeon, composed by Yuzo Koshiro, flexing his orchestral muscles here. I love anytime he goes back to this kind of music. This could kind of, in some ways, maybe feel like ActRaiser 3 or something, you know? It's kind of like continuing that orchestral tradition.
Well, I think it's so much more, I guess, in my opinion, more beautiful than anything in ActRaiser. This is one of my favorite things that
Koshiro
has ever written. It's beautiful. It has a gorgeous melody, very tasteful arrangement, beautiful harmonies.
It's melodically speaking, it's one of the best things I think he's ever done.
One neat fact, we've mentioned this before on the show, but when Yuzo Koshiro was a kid, he took piano lessons from
Joe Hisaishi,
who's, you know, the beloved and talented Japanese film composer of renowned fame from working on all the Studio Ghibli films.
I think that's so awesome.
in this track in particular,
I think he took composition lessons from
right
him,
in Joe's taste in harmonies and orchestration kind of comes through. That influence can definitely be heard on a track like that.
Well, I'm excited to move on to a Mega Man track. It's crazy we get to play a Mega Man track on Greatest Hits 2016, but we do. We had an episode called Mega Man 9 and 10, where we played some of the best music from both of those revival games. That was such an exciting time when Mega Man 9 first was released, and then, you know, once we realized they're making another sequel to it. So Mega Man 11 is definitely long overdue, in my opinion. But so this is a track that is from Mega Man 9 that we first shared on that episode. So there's a couple other of the maybe more famous themes that we had played before. This is one we hadn't, and it's really wonderful. I remember when we recorded that episode, it was a standout piece of music, and I remember both of us remarking how much we liked this. So let's take a listen to Magma Burning. This one was composed by Ryo Kawakami from Mega Man 9. Now, this is just classic Mega Man. This is Magma Burning from Mega Man 9, composed by Ryo Kawakami. He is amazing. He did some of the best tracks. I believe the intro, that beautiful melody for Mega Man 9, some of the other really good stage themes too. Out of almost any track in the game, and there's a couple other examples too, but this is paying such nice reverence to Mega Man 1 and 2, and it's kind of sitting alongside it in a way that's very respectful and confident, and it feels classic, but it also is going into some new territory that wasn't explored in those old NES scores. So I think this is the best we could ever hope for as a fan of Capcom music, is they're going back to, you know, Famicom-style music, and the writing it compositionally, you know, with a very specific mandate. And yeah, you can't really beat a track like this.
Well, sure, and I think it's definitely safe to say that Mega Man 9 in particular, which was such a delight to us and how well it paid tribute to that series, was definitely one of the big things that was an inspiration for us to create that album Mega Buster, Mega Man NES tribute album.
Well, now let's move on to a track from Undertale. And 2016 was the year where we had that spotlight episode on this music, played a lot of pieces of music, and this was a track that we played for the first time on that episode. Kind of surprising. I think before, the only thing we played is we played you on a show and tell played
the
dating theme and a couple other themes, but this one we waited for that episode. It's called Fallen Down Reprise, and I believe the same melody that we featured a few weeks back in our remix episode, right, was remixing this track. So
sure,
let's take a listen to Fallen Down by the wonderful Toby Fox. Thank you. So beautiful. You guys are listening to Fallen Down, reprise from Undertale, composed by Toby Fox. Such a beautiful piece of music, and definitely kind of encapsulates what is so great about Undertale. Paying reverence to the 16-bit era as far as how melodic and beautiful it is, and you know, it's taken seriously. But it's also just so much fun, and it kind of makes us miss video game music, and we don't really realize it until we get something like this in, you know, 2015, or I think that's when it came out. It just makes us realize that, wow, that was a really special era, and there's something powerful about choosing to go back to that, and not a lot of people can do it, and Toby Fox just, did he ever blow this out of the water?
Well, not to mention that he... made the entire game himself. But yeah, it's very spot on to that in composition, just in terms of that it's essentially these two voices working together. But it has this nostalgic mixture of classical and sort of Japanese video game influence. It's really beautiful. It's sort of the first character theme you encounter. I believe the alternate title to this track is Torel's Theme. She's one of the principal characters in the game, and sort of serves as this like motherly figure.
And now we get the Undertale theme here, which is so beautiful. Yeah. Gosh, I feel like we could do, you know, we've done a couple times and I want to do more those redo episodes. It would fun to be do a redo episode in Undertale, not because I wasn't happy with that episode, just for the excuse to do it again, to listen to that music again. I feel like Undertale is so good that we almost have a duty to every couple years. We just have to do a redo episode just to make sure people hear it, you know?
Well, I mean, I feel like one of the reasons we started this podcast was to be ambassadors for the type of game music that we really resonated with. And I think, yes, something like Undertale is something that just felt like it was like a dream come true for Carl and I.
What do you think about that idea of having some sort of thing, even if it's like a check-in?
I hate it, but
every couple of years we go back and we record an episode listening to the same, you know, soundtrack and thinking about what are our feelings.
Yeah, I mean, I think every episode we've done is perfect, so there's nothing we could improve on.
No mistakes. The only mistake we've ever made is we once thought we made a mistake, but we didn't. Which is actually a mistake in and of itself.
Not a mistake when we did it.
I'm just kidding, guys. Okay, so now let's move on to a track from a 2016 soundtrack. And I believe Nintendo Month, one of the episodes we had was Kirby Planet Robobot.
This was so much fun. Great time this year on Nintendo Month, and that episode was really delightful.
It was a ball. Yeah, the soundtrack blew me away more than I was expecting. I mean, I knew it was going to be fun and it was going to be energetic and feel like Kirby, but this is just Hirokazu Ando knocked it out of the park here. This is the main theme of the game, the track of the week of that episode, and one of the best things composed this year for video games. This is Patched Pathway, Plains Area 1 from Kirby Planet Robobot. Guys, this might come as a surprise to you, but I love video game music. I think it's just so wonderfully unique and unabashed with how it fuses together, in some ways, the best of many different genres of music that in some ways are separated by hundreds of years, you know, classical all the way to film music with pop and rock and jazz and fusion and all these different things coming together. And a track like this is perfect because even sound-wise, you know, you have old-school 8-bit chip sounds mixed with, like, tubular bells and real brass. And it's like, it's just this wonderful hybrid that would be out of place. It would be wildly out of place in any other medium. But luckily, there is a medium, video games, where not only does this work, but this is almost like a textbook example of making something feel timeless. I don't think this is going to get old anytime soon.
Well, there's something very meta about the kind of self-referencing that happens in a track like this. I mean, it's very much composed to be in the style of pre-existing Kirby music, but
sure,
by using those chip sounds in conjunction with, you know, more, I guess, not real instruments, but kind of instrument samples.
Yeah.
It's really kind of this cute thing that is very fitting for the character of Kirby, but also for the series. Yeah, I remember one of the things that was so delightful about that Planet Robobot episode was just how incredible that main theme is and how central it was to that score and how it was manipulated and rearranged.
Well, I think
and
I have a
treated
memory,
like a theme in variations.
By the end of that episode, of us saying that this already feels like one of the classic Kirby themes.
Yeah,
and because
and it really
we had heard
holds
it,
up.
You know, we had heard it being varied, you know, 5-6 times on that episode. Yeah, when we finished that episode, we were like, this is through and through a classic Kirby theme, one of the best.
Yeah, I mean, in knowing that that series is so self-referential, mm-hmm. I'm excited to hear it quoted for years to come, either in, you know, like the Smash Brothers games or in future Kirby titles.
I want to hear a remix of it for sure. Okay, cool. We're trucking along here. This is, oh my gosh, these Greatest Hits episodes are so fun because it's the best playlist you could possibly imagine. It's just the cream of the cream of the crop. For sure. So let's keep that going. This is a gorgeous piece of music that was first played this year. We had an episode spotlighting on composer Naoki Kodaka. And this was a track from his Super Famicom game, Albert Odyssey 2. He composed two games in the Albert Odyssey series for the Super Famicom before moving on to the Saturn, in which he composed Albert Odyssey Gaiden, which is also wonderful. But these soundtracks don't get a lot of love, in my opinion, from the video game music world. I don't hear that much about them, and they're so wonderful. I still want to do an episode on the first two of the series because I think it would just be an incredible playlist. Let's take a listen to New Sunlight from Albert Odyssey 2, composed by Naoki Kodaka. Ladies and gentlemen, I present Naoki Kodaka, one of the all-time greats. And I don't know why, but Albert Odyssey,
contender for track of the year.
Yes, Albert Odyssey 2 and 1, really, for the Super Famicom, they're so underrated. I mean, this is some of the most beautiful, airtight, just flawless, you know, symphonic SNES music that was ever composed. It rivals a lot of Tsujiyama's work. It rivals some of maybe Kondo's work for the Zelda series.
I mean, it rivals a lot of pieces of classical music. It almost feels like some timeless ballet piece. I also love what he does with sort of the tempo and the sense of rubato at the beginning of the phrases.
Right. Especially, it's very effective on the loop because we have that long cadence and then da 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 da, and it kind of masks.
Well, it gives
loop.
It so much character. It's already such a cute theme, and in terms of how it's scored, it's very light and dainty, which is why it reminds me of a ballet. But it's it's that like unimpeachably flawless melodic line, and it's just the way it develops and progresses. This is really one of my favorite things that we've heard all year.
It's beautiful. Well, let's continue with the gorgeous music vibe. We're going to play a track from Near, which is spelled N-I-E-R. Beautiful soundtrack that we have shared probably a couple, maybe even a few years ago. We played a couple tracks from it. But this year, we presented this track for the first time. And it may have been in our vocal music episode. We had an episode all about vocals. And this was performed by Emmy Evans, who I believe performs this score in an original language, a new language to the game. And it was composed by Kaichi Okabe as well as Kokero Ishihama. Let's take a listen to Song of the Ancients, Devola, from Nier. You guys are listening to Song of the Ancients, Devola, performed by Emmy Evans here from the game Nier. I absolutely adore her voice. Not only do I like her voice, I think it's perfect for this kind of video game music, but I'm so happy that this was recorded with just the utmost of care when it comes to the engineering and the microphones, and just the quality and the fidelity of this recording is so good. And it's important because it's capturing the subtleties, the nuances of her voice.
Right.
And it's definitely something that I appreciate, because when you go back and you listen to a track from maybe like the Final Fantasy series from the late 90s that maybe had recorded vocals, it's kind of that 90s
drenched
quality
in reverb
of production, which you can't make out the subtleties. And this is just, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful.
I mean, it's almost kind of like the production on like the Bastion soundtrack, where it's very dry and has this kind of homemade, homespun feel to it.
Emmy Evans is an amazing vocalist, and amazing job, Koichi Okabe, with this track. I think it definitely comes close to that track Grandma as far as just how beautiful it is. That track Grandma is maybe a little bit more tragic, and this track is a little bit more like poppy. For some reason, it kind of reminds me of you know, something I would hear just a pop singer singing. But it's maybe a little too tragic for that. Like, I think if Mariah Carey were to like record this, it would be like, oh no, what's
wrong?
Well,
and also
with
she'd
her?
Have to learn Japanese, which would be sort
well,
of
again
a
though
a
I don't think this is Japanese. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, one of our listeners emailed us and said that the language was like made up for this game.
Oh,
so
well, that shows how insensitive I am for assuming it's Japanese.
Oh, no, I'll let it slide, man. I mean,
please send your comments to carlbrueggemann@gmail.com.
Oh, that's not actually my email address. That's funny. Okay.
I wonder if somebody else has already bought in that Gmail just to shake you down in case you ever want it.
That's so funny. Well, guys, we are very excited. We're going to move on to this week's track of the week. Which means, Will, what does that mean?
Track of the year.
Track of the year for 2016. I can't believe it. It was unanimous. We
you
both
know, Carl,
decided
you're a drummer.
This.
You could have, you could have used an actual snare drum to do a roll instead of just your mouth.
I kind of think of it as its own drum, though, in a way.
Yeah. Anyways, it feels a little early in the episode to have this, but we're just having so much fun, and we want to keep the good energy rolling.
I'm just excited
rolling.
For it.
This is, I'm very proud of this because this is a something that I discovered
okay,
and brought
right.
in. Okay,
toot
yes,
your own horn.
Yes, yes. I brought this. I discovered it. It's mine.
No, I'm glad,
I made it.
I'm glad you did.
No. I discovered it, so that means that it's mine. No, I brought this in on a show and tell episode a while back, and this is incredible because I sort of discovered this probably one of my favorite chiptune artists, Japanese gentleman that goes by the name of Naruto.
Will, do you know the weirdest thing about this track is that it's not composed by Jake Kaufman.
You could say he's the Japanese Jake Kaufman. This is Artificial Intelligence Bomb. I really think the music speaks for itself, but it's catchy, it's tuneful, it's so impressive in terms of how it uses the NES hardware. Let's take a listen to Artificial Intelligence Bomb by Naruto.
You guys are listening to Artificial Intelligence Bomb. This is by Naruto, who submitted this for this Famicom competition a few years back called Famicompo. And I actually have a zip file of all of the NSFs of all the different entries, and man, there's some amazing stuff. This got first place, I believe. Maybe the best modern chiptune ever composed. It's just phenomenal.
Like, I mean, the musical elements, the melody is mm-hmm. fantastic, all of the different individual musical lines, the implementation.
Literally everything
yeah,
about
it,
this
it's
is
a,
amazing.
It's a perfect 10 out of 10. I also love how long the form is. It's groovy, it's catchy,
Tim
it
Fallon,
shows off the hardware.
Yeah, Tim yeah. Fallon would listen to this and be smiling and be kind of jealous in some ways of it, I would say. Because
yeah.
it has elements of you know, his kind of production with the fast arpeggiation and how proggy it is and the tempo.
Well, this almost
know,
feels like this should
changes.
Be the NES demo. Like, remember when you would get old, like a Casio keyboard or something, and they'd have mm-hmm. a demo that would show off the instrument in a way that's far more advanced than, you know, any mere mortal could ever hope to achieve.
Sure.
This is almost what that is for the Nintendo
well,
Entertainment System.
I have one complaint about this track. And my complaint is that it's too good. It doesn't make sense that this Naruto would write this and a couple other chiptunes, and that's it. Like, he needs to be working on video games, like, full-time. Like, he needs to be making a lot of this music. And the fact that he doesn't, I think, is a big problem.
Well, he's made quite a bit. I've been to his website, and there's so much excellent, amazing music to go through
we
that.
We got
to
get in touch with him somehow.
For years to come, yeah. He's
I kind of feel like getting the money for like some sort of grant and just to pay him some sort of fee or salary to make an album of chiptune music.
Kind of like be a patron
yes,
of him.
Because it's too good. Again, it's a problem. It's actually a problem how good it is. Because we need more of it. Okay, so now we're going to move on to a track from our episode we did this year on Fire Emblem Fates. It's another 2016 release. Really big fan of this soundtrack. You know, it had big shoes to fill because we were really big fans of Fire Emblem Awakening, which came out a few years before that. Overall, I think that score is maybe a little more solid, we'd probably agree. Very beautiful, very good melodies. But Fire Emblem Fates took a different approach. It kind of was a little bit more ethnic, I guess I'll say, maybe more traditional. But there are these moments of kind of pop songwriting mixed with jazz, mixed with some classical elements that are so beautiful. And this really kind of sums it up for me. It's the main theme of the game, and it's hearkened to so many times in the soundtrack. And I do think this is one of those scores, if we remember on that episode, where it's one of the most expansive scores ever released for a video game. 9 discs, I want to say. Something crazy like 8 or 9 discs of music. So an incredibly daunting soundtrack. And this is my favorite version of the main theme. It features a Japanese vocalist, and everything kind of comes full circle with the arrangement here. Let's take a listen to this track, Lost in Thoughts All Alone, composed by Hiroki Morishita from Fire Emblem Fates. I swear, every single time I listen to this, I just get choked up a little bit. It's so incredibly beautiful. I'm just such a sucker for the combination of a very simple, pure melody, but when he combines those different kind of more extended jazz changes later on, and it changes our perception of the melody, it's a powerful moment, and it works so well for me. It just kind of hits me in the core. This, I think, is maybe the best thing that was done this past year for video games. This particular melody and how it's implemented here is such an achievement. I don't know. I can't think of anything this past year that can touch this.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the key, isn't it? Those pure, timeless melodies that are harmonized with a lot of emotion and artistry. I think that's something that Hiroki Morishita really has a gift for, and it's why we were so excited about this soundtrack.
Yeah.
I think my first introduction to it was an instrumental one, and it was so simple, and it's also a string of notes that has been so utilized almost really to the point of being a cliche in video games.
We should say
that.
This actually was the catalyst of us doing our cliche episode. And if you remember, one of the montages we have was this kind of... Did we call it a Fire Emblem montage, maybe?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a theme that really in pretty much this very similar form has been used in the Castlevania series. If you think of Dracula X, da 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 da,
yes,
da 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 da, and even used very similar to this in Castlevania for the N64. Da,
da, da, da, and a shout out to Brian Kelly. I know he's been kind of weirdly obsessed with that too ever since listening to our episode.
Weirdly, Brian's awesome.
No,
how dare
no,
you?
No. I don't think he even realized. But after listening to that episode,
dude,
every couple months he would like send us another, guys, is this another example? And he almost can't stop listening.
Right. I mean,
it's a
very prevalent thing. And I mean, when you start to over obsess about a melodic turn of phrase, you can sort of go on forever and ever.
So Brian, hopefully you're not going crazy.
But just to get back to this track, yeah, my first introduction to the theme, I maybe wasn't completely sold because I didn't know that it had kind of earned its place. But after hearing this arrangement, it really became clear, oh, this is sort of the definitive iteration of that type of melody, and this performance is beautiful, the way it's harmonized. That I really love the art of sort of crafting a great series of arpeggios for a chord progression, and this is an example of a piece where every note that's played on the piano is so divine and works in such great counterpoint to that melody. It's really gorgeous and exquisite.
Well, now we're going to move on to a track from our RTS Games episode from earlier this past year. This is from, it was a track of the week on that episode. It's from the game Stronghold, which blows me away. This was a very early game, 2001, but it has this really awesome performed soundtrack that's very medieval, kind of getting some of those influences that we talk about a lot on the podcast, but nailing them in a way that is quite rare, but also making it fun too. So it sounds kind of medieval, but it's still, you can tell it's a piece that was recorded in, you know, the 21st century. So this is Castle Jam from Stronghold, composed by Robert Oivino. Nailed it, Robert. You nailed it. This is Castle Jam from Stronghold, an RTS game that came out in 2001 for the PC. Our favorite kind of new discovery from that episode. Somebody, I can't remember who, I'm sorry, but somebody suggested us to check out that score for that episode, and it may have been the person who that Patreon episode was for, but yeah, wow, Stronghold has such a cool soundtrack, and this is so fun. Will's saying it reminds him of this track from Escape from Monkey Island.
There's a theme from Escape from Monkey Island with a very similar melody.
Which I feel like that track was inspired by an old folk song, which means maybe
this
was,
yeah,
too.
Sea shanties and
sea shanties, yeah. But it's super good. And something about this, I can't put my finger on it, but something about it feels more modern to me. And maybe it's just that it was recorded nicely.
Well, it also feels like a good transition to the next piece that we're going to talk about today, yeah, which is from the World of Warcraft series.
Very nice transition. World of Warcraft Warlords of Draenor, which was an expansion that we featured on our World of Warcraft episode that we did with our buddies Stephen and Brian Kelly. That was a really epic and fun episode. And long overdue episode that we did in 2016. This particular track is called Malak, and it was the track of the week on that episode. It's very beautiful. It's composed by Ymir Noon, who's a wonderful composer and conductor who's done a lot of great work in the video game world. Let's take a listen to Malak from Warlords of Draenor.
Thank you.
You guys are listening to Malak. This comes to us from World of Warcraft Warlords of Draenor, an expansion pack in this Blizzard series. This was composed by Emer Noon. It was so wonderful to get a little bit of insight about her process composing this track and kind of what it meant to her. This was a very difficult track to work on. It's a very epic piece of music that's over 6 minutes long. So once again, listen to this entire piece of music because it's definitely warranted to explore the whole thing. We don't have time on a podcast like this to do that, but this is incredibly legitimate music that I still, you know, as a fan of video game music, I still have to kind of pinch myself that this is for a game because it feels so much like something that would be in a film that, you know, you could put this in a film and it would be right at home.
Yeah, Emer is just a stellar composer, and I mean, she has a command of the orchestra and orchestral writing. She's an excellent conductor and composer in her own right. But yeah, this track just floored me. I love the use of the duduk, which is that beautiful kind of folk reed instrument. But this is a piece that has so much emotion in it. And yeah, I mean, it just is, in terms of reflecting on our year, that was one of my favorite episodes that we did in 2016.
Me too.
It was a great sort of reunion of the brothers Brueggemann and the brothers Kelly. And we're so looking forward in 2017 to get to see them at MAGFest.
At the time of recording, we will have not been out to DC yet, so that'll be a lot of fun to see those guys. A lot of other friendly, familiar faces. Let's see, this comes out, I want to make sure. Yeah, this episode will come out on the 2nd of January, which means that there's a few days until MAGFest, so let's just do it now instead of at the end. We are doing two panels this year at MAGFest. Back-to-back panels, we're taking over panels room one Saturday night, late night. So our first panel is at 10:30 on the inspirations of video game music, and then our second panel is at midnight. It's the evolution of the NES. So come and hang out with us. Check out our panels. We'd love to meet you guys,
and
take
some
photos.
There's some really exciting things happening at MAGFest this year.
I think we mentioned before
Austin Wintry and David Wise are actually scheduled to be in attendance. I know we're so excited to just get to see those incredibly talented gentlemen and to hang out with all of you lovely folk as well.
All right. Well, now let's move on to a track that was track of the week for a different show and tell episode this year. Kiss Shot. Remember this, Will?
Yep.
A Genesis soundtrack, a pool game, I believe. There's some interesting jokes, I think, that were made on this episode. Just go back and listen if you're curious.
Interesting. Not very, necessarily funny.
Very interesting jokes.
Yeah, when the Mercado brothers try humor, it's definitely interesting.
Oh, that was an interesting choice. Oh, you decided to do that. Oh, okay. Huh. Yeah, that's...
I think the three of us were talking that interesting is sort of the worst adjective a composer could receive, at least in my estimation.
It's the best way to be mean, though.
Yeah, I
want to
make something good. I want to make something beautiful. I don't want to make something interesting.
You could also be like, oh, oh, yeah, that's really something, man. Oh, yeah.
You
really did it. You really tried.
You really made it.
You were up there and you were doing it, man. That's great. The subtext is, wow, that sucked. Okay, so this is from Kiss Shot, which was composed by Naofumi Hitaya and Hiroshi Kubota. This is Nine Ball Game. This is such a jam. Sit back, relax, and enjoy.
That is the jam. You were listening to Nine Ball Game from Kiss Shot.
You're so creepy. Has
I really
ever
love
told
this.
You that?
Yes. too many people. I really love this track. I think it is a really good showcase of the Genesis. The fact that Genesis can do authentic jazz, I think better than the SNES, because you have this clarity. And because of the stereo panning, all you had was center, 100% left and 100% right. And they actually really make that work for them on this track, because the Rhodes chords kind of remind us of the way we would hear Rhodes panned on an actual jazz recording. And the type of the vibrato on the lead is super expressive, and the bass line's very well written. I don't know, this is some of the best jazz writing I've ever heard on the Sega Genesis, and that says something, I think.
Yeah, it's very old school kind of jazz standard chords and melody in terms of style.
It's reminiscent.
Little tastes of bluesy turn in the melody, and some of the advanced kind of diminished chords and jazzy voicings really feel like an authentic combo. And what the drums and bass are doing together, you really can imagine real instruments performing this. It's not a stretch at all. It's a very tasteful and restrained arrangement.
And again, I just absolutely love anytime modern composers are going back to an old style and doing the same thing that we do on our tribute albums.
Well, I think,
you
know? Unfortunately, you couldn't really call something like this modern.
That's true. But I mean, in the context of jazz, it is, you know, mid-90s is more modern than, you know, 40s. And, you know, this kind of track is hearkening back to an old standard that could be in the real book, you know, 50 years before, 40 years before this was written. So, beautiful stuff. All right, let's move on to a nice little discovery we made when we were preparing for our Manami Matsu Mai episode, which was the finale of last season?
I believe so, yes.
Wow, okay. So yeah, the finale of last season, we had an episode spotlighting on Manami Matsumai, complete with our interview, our really exciting interview with her. And a track that we discovered was from Carrier Airwing, which for some reason we never really looked into, even though it was the sequel to UN Squadron, which doesn't make sense. Like, we should have looked at that right away because we love UN Squadron so much. But anyway, this is Raid the Dockyard, which is Mission 4 from Carrier Airwing, which also came out for the arcade, composed by Manami Matsumai. Shredding stuff. You guys are listening to Raid the Dockyard, Mission 4 from Carrier Airwing for the arcade, composed by Manami Matsumai. There's a lot of wonderful music that we shared that episode. Will's favorite, one of his favorites, was that original chiptune called, I think it was from a project called Stage 1-1.
Something about like headshots or something?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Which was wonderful. One shot, one kill, I think
is what it's
called. But we had actually shared that previously in a previous year.
Well, to talk about some of the great things that we did in 2016, I mean, that interview with Manami Matsumai was one of the highlights of my life.
Me too.
I mean, that was amazing. And that we did at MAGFest last year, but it was this surreal experience of speaking to one of our heroes, a Japanese composer who has influenced so many, and to get to, you know, have like a legitimate interview with a translator.
Well, it was the first time we had ever interviewed a Japanese composer, and what was so great is it wasn't just some obscure composer that like did, oh, I've done a couple like Namco games.
It was insane that like your first foray into that world is really kind of the godmother.
One of the heavy hitters, yeah, absolutely. So that was a wonderful treat. And yeah, great to share more of this music from Carrier Airwing. We'll go back to that in the future because it's a great soundtrack and it really reminds me of her work on UN Squadron. Kind of her unhinged, you know, just her writing, rocking music. I think the mandate for UN Squadron was, oh, do you know Top Gun? Just make music like that. And she just went to town with it. Okay, so now we're going to play one of the standout pieces of music from this year as well. We had an episode in which we played, it may have been Sports Games Round 2, which ended up being a phenomenal playlist. I think a lot of times we go back to these topics and sometimes we don't get that excited about, oh, Sports Games 2, that's going to be not the best episode. But it ended up being a phenomenal playlist, partially due to the Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games. Okay, so we're not going to play a remix because those are so wonderful. And we are going to do fairly soon here in the season, we're going to do that episode on that series. But this is an original piece of music that really wowed us on that episode. It's called Uneven Bars. And it's from Mario and Sonic at the London 2012 Olympic Games. And the composers here are some Sega people. We have Kenichi Takoi, Naofumi Hitaya, which is a name who worked on the Kiss shot. We have Tadashi Kinukawa, as well as Tomoya Otani. Classic modern Sonic composers here. Let's take a listen to Uneven Bars. I am so happy. This track is a perfect example of how music can just brighten your day. And honestly, like, I was having a good time already, but listening to this, I am so happy from this. Like, I can't wait to keep going with these tracks. This is so fun. This is Uneven Bars from Mario and Sonic, London 2000 Olympics. Oh my gosh, this is just...
London 2000?
2012, sorry.
You're so excited, you're forgetting what year the London Olympics
This is a
were.
Phenomenal piece of music.
Yeah, it's outstanding. I can't wait to spotlight on this series.
Me too.
I think it's something people wouldn't expect to have such stellar music, but
Once again, I have a complaint in that it's actually too good.
It's too good for the series
yes,
it belongs to.
Yes, it doesn't actually make sense.
Well, I think the series is too good, or the series isn't good enough for the titans of gaming that it's about. You know, I mean, this music is definitely behooves a game called Mario versus Sonic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, unfortunately, those games have garnered a reputation of not being the best.
Yeah,
but
and
at
also,
least we get these excellent soundtracks and some really fun remixes and arrangements of
classic
themes.
It is possible that the games sold well and had a lot riding on them as far as maybe commercial appeal, so they really put a lot of the budget maybe into the soundtrack. It's possible, but for whatever reason, I'm glad they did because it's amazing stuff. Okay, let's move on to a really cool track that we played, another jazzy piece of music from our Summer Music 2, maybe More Summer Music it was called, this summer.
Even more
summer music. That'll be next summer. This is from Metal Gear Solid 3.
Yet again, another summer of summery music. That'll be in 2 years. I'll just keep brainstorming quietly.
Summer upon summer upon summer. I got summer for days. This is from Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater, and it's a licensed piece of music that was written separately and then put into the game. It's called Sea Breeze, composed by Sergei Mantis. Let's take a listen. Thank you. This is making me nostalgic for the summer. This is an ultimate summer jam.
That's too early to be nostalgic.
This is the ultimate summer jam. This is Sea Breeze from Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater, composed by Sergei Mantis. Interesting, Mantis and Snake. Are they related? Maybe. Praying Mantis.
Clever, Carl.
Anyway, this, I remember talking about this on that episode, but it's wild how this feels like a classic jazz standard, and I have to pinch myself because it's not. I remember looking up Sea Breeze. There is no jazz standard called Sea Breeze. It's a modern piece of music.
Yeah.
And, it just fits right at home, and I think the composer did a great job similarly to that Kiss Shot track where he was tasked with trying to make something as familiar and comfortable as possible to be used, licensed in this, you know, various, you know, commercials and games and movies and media, you know. And so the goal is to make it feel familiar, but it's not something that maybe would be more expensive to get the rights to.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, this is just a delightful track. I remember it really, it was a fun little gem on that episode, because I was sort of surprised, oh, something from Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater, but then realizing that it's just sort of production stock music. But there's such an excellent tradition in the of background music, of music that's written to have sort of a generic role in different media.
Sometimes
that's something both Marty and I have been kind of obsessed with over the years of
discovering.
Well,
what I think is potentially ironic or surprising is sometimes it's better than the actual original music for that project. And for me, I would say that's the case for Metal Gear Solid 3. It's just Metal Gear Solid music is not something I gravitate towards. So to hear a track like this, it's right up my alley, and it's such a nice surprise. I love the guitar tone. To me, it sounds like he's kind of digging in with his finger and kind of pinching it and slapping it in a way that's really groovy. Yeah, just great playing, great composition. All right, now we're going to move on to one of my personal favorite modern chiptuners. He goes by the name Flashy Goodness. And I actually still don't know this person's real name. There's really nowhere online where you can find out Flashy Goodness's real name. So, they've done
a good
job.
So we don't even know if it's a man or a woman.
That's correct. Flashy Goodness, they did the score to Bean Dreams, and we played a track on a show and tell this year. Was another, I think I won at least two Rock, Paper, Scissors this past year in show and tell. This is another one I won. Fortune Fields from Bean Dreams. I love this track. Let's take a listen. So adorable. You guys are listening to Fortune Fields from Bean Dreams, composed by Flashy Goodness. This is such a wonderful combination of obviously chiptunes, but kind of melding other, you know, genres such as R&B. Some of those horn lines remind me of Earth, Wind, and Fire. And it's just so much fun, and it's one of those pieces where it's almost like the piece of music itself, if you were to look at it, if it had a face, it would definitely be smirking the whole time, I think.
Sure, yeah, it kind of reminds me of Sonic a little bit in some of those horn parts.
Sure.
But it, really delightful. I love the chord progression. Getting that major minor four moment in there feels very earned. And I love the kind of portamento slides on the melody that gives it a lot of character. And this B section is so busy, it feels like the type of melody that is kind of idiomatic for chiptune writing, yet the way it's harmonized and that some of the instruments almost kind of have this pop brass sound, it's this really neat combination, I feel, where it's like you get a piece that musically has elements of chip music, but kind of is trying to be presented as as though it's, you know, utilizing an actual band. It's really clever. This is so delightful.
So good. It's wonderful. All right, so now we're going to play the most recent track. This was actually not that long ago, and it was on our Rhythm Games episode. And that was really funny because we ended up having four track of the weeks.
So we're playing all of them.
No.
Two times the speed.
We're playing
We're
playing the last one and the one that Will said, this is my favorite of the day when we got to it. So
I think I said that about all of them, though.
But
to be
you
fair.
Said this at the last time in the episode. So, okay, this is from Poppin' Music 9. And it's a wonderful little Christmassy kind of jazz tune that kind of feels like it maybe could fit into Mario Galaxy.
Yeah, this is so good. I actually showed this to my girlfriend afterwards because I'm like, this is just a great song. This is so catchy.
It's amazing. It's by Paracats. Let's take a listen to Filament Circus. Paracats just killing it here with this track called Filament Circus.
This is the cutest thing I've ever heard. I love everything about it. I love the voice. I love the melody, the arrangement. It's so, like, Christmassy, that B section. Oh, my God. Everything. So cute. So delightful. Like, I don't care what mood I'm in. If you play this for me, I'm going to start smiling. I'm going to probably cry with laughter and... My mouth will be placed into a permanent grin.
This is similar to me in that Uneven Bars track where I can't help but smile to this in a different way. This is just more cute than anything, and it's just one of those things where you just want to, like, pinch the cheeks of the singer.
I
want to
play
here.
This in the Mercado band.
Oh, my God, that would be adorable.
Jaime could play Glockenspiel.
I think it would be great if we got a little, like... girl to sing it, though, you know.
Well, I mean, you have me. I could
close,
you know,
substitute
bust out my Japanese
close substitute. Yeah,
that is the cutest thing I've ever heard.
I've always said
so
that
much.
I've always said that when in a
that
pinch
I'm a cute little girl
when in a pinch, you know.
I can be.
All right, we're gonna move on to the last track of the day. This is Minus the Playout. This is from Professor Layton in The Last Spectre for the 3DS, and we featured this on, was it a DS episode, or this might actually be for the DS then. May have been on our DS episode or some episode this year. I can't remember for the life of me, but it's a beautiful track.
You have your computer right in front of you. There's so much you could be doing to look this up.
Whatever. I know it was, all I know is that I found earlier, you know, a week ago, this was played for the first time this year. So it's Theme of the Devil's Flute, composed, of course, by Tomohito Nishiura from Professor Layton in The Last Spectre. Thank you so much, guys, for this trip down memory lane as we explored the very best music we've shared on the last year of the podcast. Not the last year ever, but this previous year, 2016. This is an incredible playlist. Every year I feel like I get excited for these episodes. And I always try to kind of compare, like, oh, how did we do on the music this year? I think we definitely outdid 2015 overall. In my opinion, I don't know. I just think there's just some amazing stuff here. And some of that is due to the new games that were released this year. You know, for example, the Fire Emblem Fates and the Planet Robobots. But just some really cool discoveries. You know, that Naruto was just a life-changing discovery. Oh my gosh, yeah, that you just can't beat some of the tracks we played this year. So we had a wonderful time. Once again, we're going to be at MAGFest in a few days from when this episode goes up. Let's let you guys
obviously,
know.
Yeah, too late to buy tickets now, but
right. But hopefully you'll join us. Yeah, we'll get a beer. So we're going to play you out with a track from Okami. We had an Okami episode this past year, and this is a track called "Inside the Water Dragon," composed by Rai Kondo. So that's going to be playing you out with. I believe next week is going to be our season finale episode.
Yeah, we have a really fun composer interview.
Yeah,
in keeping tradition with our season finales, and we actually have some other exciting interviews coming up in the near future for next season. So a lot to look out for, and I suspect possibly even more once we go to MAGFest. We're gonna bring
Absolutely.
All our recording equipment, and I would love to do kind of a spur of the moment episode with the Kellys and Carlos and Marty. My dream episode is just like as many people
everybody.
As possible, but we gotta do some fun stuff there. But happy new year, everybody. Thanks again for all of your support for the show.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
It's what keeps us going.
Thanks for all the nice emails, keep sending those. Thank you for all of your support on social media,
and thanks for letting us know when, you know, episode links are damaged, and you know, if we get facts incorrect. We
also let us know what you thought of that super super long original showcase episode. I think that holds the record for the longest episode.
Yeah, I know Carl was so frantic about that after we finished.
That's a record that I don't know, I feel like Will is curious to try to beat.
I don't care either way. I would rather just turn off the clock.
It was a great episode. I was really proud of that episode. So all right guys, one quick thing is we are on iTunes, so you can find us on there if you want to subscribe to us on there. Leave us a review. Our website is supermercadobros.com. Social media at Mercado Bros. We're on Facebook as well. All right, I think that's just about does it. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. Have a great week, everybody.
Peace out.